All right. Why don't we introduce ourselves just for kicks?
Hi, this is Andy Bell from Eurasia.
And this is Vincent Clark.
And we were saying this kind of off camera, even though there's no video, about, I mean, so 2005, and I know you don't look back. So I'm trying to even remember. I know that you were playing here, though.
Yeah.
It was definitely this venue.
I think it was must have been the
last show.
Oh, no,
it wasn't. It was the
tour,
no, you know what? It was the Independent, and you were doing five nights, and I went on Gay Cop Night. Yeah, that was in San Francisco at the Independent, because you did five, I think you did 5 days in a row then.
That was that teeny place, wasn't it?
That was the thing when we did all those multiple nights in New York at the Beacon Theatre.
No,
remember?
That was 1992, Vince. That was the... Yeah, that was a fantastic tour. We're talking
about... It must have been a long time ago.
It wasn't. That was with Nightbird. I'm sure it was.
We did it
We did it a second time round, like in San Francisco. Do you remember? Because the same thing we did, we played that smaller place in New York, Irvine Plaza, a few nights. And then we played another small place here in San Francisco. In San Francisco. But I don't quite remember which tour it was, though.
Yeah, I don't either. What,
was it? It was with the Angel Wings,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes,
so it was a tiny, tiny stage, maybe the tiny tour.
Yeah.
Electronic music to me, I mean, I've recently re-talked to OMD. To Gary Newman. These are all people in the past like 6 months that are all, you know, you've never stopped, but I'm talking to them and we have the same discussion, which is, you know, this whole thing about analog versus digital versus. So the EDM thing, when you get approached on this constantly, which you do all the time, and you keep hearing, well, you know, is Erasure EDM music, the whole genre thing. You never, when you were doing this from day one, way back, you never even thought about that one way or another, right?
Well, I mean, the idea of EDM, it's, you know, it's just a new category that's...
Right.
Well, I think the record companies need genres, you know. Yeah. But really, having said that, though, it does describe some very, very exciting new electronic music out there, you know. I mean, people are being really... experimental, I think. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's not very good as well, but you know, there's this huge interest and resurgence in dance music, number one, and now electronic dance music.
But there's a huge difference, and maybe this is the dividing line between sampling, you know, pulling a million samples, which of course started in hip hop, right? And now has been adapted to what a lot of DJs on stage do. But what's really interesting is when I come to see you. And even when I went to see you with Allison the last time, I was with a bunch of friends and they said, so I know what Andy does. What exactly does Vince do up there when he's standing up there? And I smiled and I said, everything that Andy doesn't.
No, mostly I just stand there looking cool. That's my job.
Is that it? It just, what do you think, Andy? Do you think that's what he does while he's up there? Is he just stands there looking cool while you just take the whole thing over make it happen magically?
There has to be a helmsman, and if there wasn't a helmsman, nothing would happen.
A lot has been written about the fact that Miami really, you know, got into your heads in an interesting way, and that this really, you know, I love the quote, and I think this was you, Andy, that said, you know, this record caught us at a very good moment.
Well, I just think it's... you know, it takes forever, doesn't it? Kind of, or seemingly to, for that good moment to happen, or it seemed to, anyway. Vince and I were just, I think, excited about writing and, you know, happy to see each other where we were, and basically just having a good time with
and
the writing.
Yeah, well, and the dynamic of the two of you writing together is always really interesting because you might have a beer in between, but you don't hang a lot in between. So when you get together, you look at each other and you go, okay, what now, right?
Well, I think that that's quite good in a way because it means that we're both bringing in our, you know, our experiences into the writing process. Whether it's, I mean, it's not deliberate, but that's the way it works out, you know, always, I think. And being apart for a while, I don't know, it just gives you a sort of sense of, I don't know, like it's more exciting, you know.
But you have the coolest relationship because it's kind of like you have done exactly what we're talking about here for 3 decades, right? It's the, okay, we're together, we're going to do a bunch of stuff, and then we're going to take a break. And it's kind of like seeing your childhood friend every couple of years over and over again. That's kind of a, isn't that a cool dynamic?
It is like that, yeah. But, I mean, I couldn't imagine, I mean, we could never live together, could we, for
instance?
Yeah,
I could see.
Do you know what I mean? Probably you could, but Vince has got his family and I've got my family.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, and I think it's very healthy to go away and then kind of do your thing and then come back, you know.
I love this quote. This is a very early Richard X quote. I went and dug this up because I thought this was a great thing, that when he started out, he said his goal back at the beginning was to reinvent pop music to make records that are virtually unplayable.
Yeah, I think the 90% that he turns down is the ones that don't pay him.
Oh! So are you saying that with the right co-producer, money talks? You're turning red as you say that, but that's a funny line.
No, I mean...
I love that.
We were very fortunate to work with Richard. I mean, he worked really well for us with the mixing of the last record, of the Christmas record. And he's really into synths, you know, into electronics. And I think he's got a good pop sensibility. So, you know, for us, it seemed a natural choice for this new record.
But, man, that thing kicks the second you put it in. And it's big. And that was intentional, right?
I guess it was Richard's. Yeah, I mean, Richard obviously brought all our ideas together. We'd written the songs basically, and you know, it's always the same. We always have to rely on an outside person like a producer to bring our ideas together and make it into a record. You know, it's like we're no good at judging, you know, what people will like outside of our world. You know, so we would kind of rely on other people to do that.
Well, that's kind of fascinating, because as much music as you've both made over the years, for you to actually say that you give up control and hand it over to someone, I think most people wouldn't believe that.
Well, I think that just gets easier as you get older, actually. I think when you're younger, you kind of, well, I did, I thought I knew everything. Then you get a bit older and you realise you know nothing.
I would actually quite like to do some producing. I'm going to produce our next record.
Ah! Are you okay? Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't know if you're in the right channel or the left channel here. Are you okay with that left channel?
No, it sounds good to me, yeah. He's cheap as well.
Yeah. I'm cheap.
Wow,
yeah.
Well, you've worn him down over
I've
the years.
I've worn him down.
You've worn him down, Andy. Yeah. That's fantastic. The other thing about this is you meant this to be an album. And as I was listening to the lyrics, as I was listening to what you had to say, there was a cohesiveness to what the messages were. So in the world that we live in, where people go on, you know, various digital things and go, oh, I'll take that one and I'll pay $1.29 for that one and I'll pay $99 for that one. Do you think maybe that this will hook them enough that you conquer that, or do you not care because you just know that this is the way we live these days?
Well, I was quite surprised because we apparently 68% of the sales this time were digital, which was quite surprising for us because we know that people like to have the hard copy, you know, from beginning to end. Wow. So, and that's always how we've made stuff, and I think that's always how we will make stuff. You're not just going to make one-off tracks to... You know, and also because it's just me and Vince writing, we don't have 100 other people interested.
You don't have a million co-writers.
No.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're old-fashioned.
Yeah, I know. It takes a village to make a record these days, doesn't it?
It takes a whole town.
It takes 20, 22 co-writers, 32 mixers, 600 A&R people.
Yeah.
You found that balance way early on between having independence but also having the power to get it out there, right?
I think we just got lucky because we work with Daniel Miller, the guy that runs Mute Records, you know, and he's a real music fan. He's not just a record company business guy, you know, so he's into us. And, you know, we've always gotten a lot of support from the record company and we've never considered going elsewhere. And, you know, it's not many bands that can have a relationship with the same record company for the amount of time that we have.
The one thing that is key that you've talked about a lot, but... You know, I want my audience to hear is obviously the big difference is that instead of writing this on keyboard and guitar, you wrote this on synthesizer. Mm.
You know, I'd wanted to work in this way for a while with Vince, and I mean, my dream scenario would be just with him on stage with a live arpeggio with a synth just going, and then I'll sing something over the top and that'll be it.
Cool.
You know, so that would be kind of art then, wouldn't it? It would be art rather than pop.
Yeah, you'd be in that David Byrne kind of oh, I'm just gonna make it happen as it moves.
But it kind of just worked on the record because we it was I was thinking of when I'd first moved to London, hadn't met Vince, and my you know, I was listening to Grace Jones' first album and Donna Summer, and it was just I don't know, that kind of like frame of mind. I felt like we'd gone full circle and we were back to square one.
Well, I guess it was just you know, for me it's working in a different way from what we're used to. Yeah, we tried it before and it hadn't been very successful, but this time around it was.
Well, now, why would that be? Is it? I mean, because you're not using new technology per se, right?
No, I mean, the problem that we had before was that once you've got the groove and you've got the chords all mapped out, then it's very difficult to go anywhere else. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So if you're writing on guitar, you can always, you know, change key or something, and then you can take the song.
Once it's in the box, it's in the box.
Yeah. But this time around, it just flowed and worked really well.
Every night, you could pick from, how many songs could you, at this point, how many songs could you choose from? Have you ever counted? Have you ever said, we could
really
choose
counted,
from, you know, 522 songs?
Probably, yeah, probably about.
Yeah, and there's the audience, and they're saying, well, I want to hear chorus. Mm. And another audience is saying, I want to hear this. And then somebody else. But what I've heard is that you're also doing a lot of quote, remixed versions.
I mean, it was Andy's idea to do that, you know, to do it live. We wanted to present something different this time around.
So that's pretty cool, because you can really turn it into a, you can turn any place into a dance club.
That was the idea, was the idea from for the tour was for Vince to be a DJ. And me to be on the dance floor with the holding the mic, and that was it. That was it, really.
So Jack Antonoff, when I first met him, he was in this little band called Steel Train. Do you see some things in him that you saw in yourselves when you were that young, innocent age, and next thing you know, everybody's going, ooh, look at that.
To be honest, I'd never heard of him until I did some work. I met him once. And
really?
I did some work on one of his tracks for his album, and then he mixed one of our tracks.
Had no idea who he was?
I still don't know who he is. I don't know who the band is. What's the band he was in?
He's in Fun, which had this song called We Are Young, and then it's Bleachers. He's actually
we
got a bunch
young,
of projects.
We Are Young, that song.
Yes,
oh,
that was him.
Yeah. Well, no, he's a really nice guy, don't get me wrong, but I just, at the time, I had no idea who Fun were. I mean, I mentioned it to my wife, and she knew who they were, but she's 10 years younger than I am.
It's the best way, Vince, honestly.
I love it. But you see that, but now, doesn't that make it kind of cooler because it's all about the work?
Well, of course, yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, I wasn't till afterwards, once I did that mix for him, that I actually checked out Fun. And then there was one track that I think I knew that I'd maybe heard, you know. Obviously, I'm not out in the world enough, you know.
We did this last time. We built a musical sandwich. And what it was two songs from the current record, and then you each ping-pong a bunch of songs in between just off the top of your head. And I'd love you do that for me again, because that gives me a full hour and 40 minutes of nonstop music.